minutes after 9 o'clock. And, yeah, still a little foggy out there. I just like using British accents. Why I like foggy days. 58 right now. And speaking of which, talking the journey as we do once a month with Colette Barton in this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
And in reference to the fog, you were thinking about this on your way in.
I have a commute, so the fog was...
Were you drawing lots of conclusions and fun metaphors that you can tell us about?
Absolutely.
Well, what do you got?
Well, you know, as I was driving, and I commute in for a ways, and I have where I travel on a two-lane road, you know, meeting oncoming traffic.
Yeah.
And as I turned onto the highway and was thinking about what we were going to talk about today, about the grieving process and what does that feel like and what does it look like and what does it feel like and look like from someone who isn't the griever but who's the observer, who's the support. And, you know, the fog is intense. It is
very
thick.
That past couple of days, yeah.
Yeah, it is thick out there this morning. And so just... Again, thinking about what it feels like when you begin to experience that grieving journey, when you've lost someone that you love, and then you're in the now what? What now? And you look around, and it can feel that enclosed like the fog did this morning, just consuming. And as the cars, you know, the car, you can see the car in front of you for a minute, and then it disappears. And that's kind of how it is when you're grieving. And so... folks come and they support you and they're there and they continue to be there, but sometimes it can feel like, where did they go? I can't see them. I don't know where they are, because you want that guidance, that be right beside me, walk with me on this and lead me, lead the way. You also can start thinking about, when will the fog clear? When will I see the blue skies again? When will there feel like there's a light, the sunshine that, you know, kind of dissipates the fog? When will that come back into my life? And there's no answer. There's no, oh, it'll happen in 10 minutes. It'll happen in 3 days. It'll happen in a year. It'll happen in 2 years.
So is the fact that, you know, you have no answer, can that make things even foggier? Can it get even thicker?
Absolutely. Because, again, we are sometimes, as humans, driven to the want to know. We want to know the answers to our questions. Sometimes when we've experienced loss, we want to know the why. Why did that happen to them? Why was it their family that was afflicted? Why they were so young? Why did that tragedy happen to them? Why did that, you know, disease diagnosis come into their world? We also can get into the, like I said, when we've lost someone, is when is the time frame? What is the time frame? When will I feel different than I do now? And we want it to be a prescribed, do these steps, and then you're going to come to the end and it'll be like this. Mm-hmm. It's not like that. And as I continued to come toward Wapton Breckenridge, you know, I traveled on a two-lane highway, So you're meeting oncoming traffic, so more cautious, more, you know, slow moving, cautious, being very careful and aware of how many cars are coming in from the sides, you know, side roads, those kinds of things. But then it was interesting, because once I hit the divided highway, and, you know, on Highway 13 it divides, The fog didn't change. The fog was still as thick, But the confidence level and the response of the cars, myself and the cars around me, changed. So you saw folks like, oh, now I'm not meeting oncoming traffic, so I can speed up a little bit. I can increase my speed. The fog didn't change. How we responded did. There were some cars that, you know, again, accelerated in their speed because it felt a little safer. There were some, I had one car that was snug right behind me, and I felt like...
Follow the
taillights, exactly. You know, there's the leader, and I'm going to follow because that feels safe, and that feels secure, and they're my guiding light. They're going to get me, you know, even though there's a clear path here. So there were just so many things about the way that the weather is outside and the fog and what that can feel like, and then I began to think about... For the people who aren't experienced the direct impact of that loss, like that, you know, it's out a little ways for them, but it's their friend they want to support, it's their family member, but it's different. And they wonder, what does it feel like?
Yeah.
Well, that, you know, they're on the outside observing what it feels like to be. Am I in the slow lane? Am I in the fast lane? Do I see the light? Can I, you know, and as people that love us as grievers, they're also faced with the challenge of how do I help? What can I do? How can I make the journey feel safer or more secure or supported?
Well, here's something, too, and you raise a good point, and it brings me to this observation, as you're driving in the fog and it gets thicker and thicker and you're having trouble, you know, with visibility, there is still the fact that there's other people as well out there driving around in the fog, equally as vulnerable and equally as you know, kind of, I don't want to say driving blind, but you know what I mean.
I do.
You know, visually impaired.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And again, the
So there's more people involved in this. So, you know, again, as alone as you feel in the fog, there's other people driving around in it too.
Right. And that's part of the beauty of the presence and having people being present, because not one of us is experiencing our grief journey exactly the same as another. Even
Very
if the
true.
Losses are mm-hmm. similar, you know, if you've lost a spouse, there's other people who've lost their spouse and they can understand some of the similarities of your circumstances. If you've lost a child, there's people who've, you know, can relate to and help provide guidance, but the journeys are all unique to ourselves. It's like our fingerprint. It's uniquely ours.
That is true. And here's a great existential question, too. Why is vulnerability so frightening? There you go, Colette Barton.
I actually talk a lot about this with some of my friends, because it is that very, very uncomfortable place that we sometimes find ourselves, and it brings in so many things. It's the, you know, sometimes there's the fear of judgment, fear of if I allow myself to be more open with where I'm standing, honoring where I'm standing and feeling in my grief, then that allows for others to make judgments about that. And not always judgments in a negative way. Sometimes it comes from a place of great care, you know, and so, but it still is a judgment.
Yeah.
So there's a fear for that. The other thing is we aren't always very well equipped to navigate being able to allow ourselves to be vulnerable. We haven't necessarily packed our toolbox with the tools that provide that security in being able to say, I'm not doing okay.
Yeah.
This is really hard. And so I think in a lot of circumstances, being vulnerable, it takes a skill of intentionality to be able to become confident enough to say, in what looks like strength to you is my vulnerability, is where I'm standing in a place where I don't feel as strong.
What a great answer. Well, I like having you in here. Thank you.
I love being here.
Question asked, question answered. Colette Barton, anything you want to add before we wrap it up?
Well, you know, again, people, I hope, are traveling very safe today, because it is a little challenging out there. And for folks that are on the grief journey and feel like they need some extra support, we're working really hard to get those resources and provide the tools to help fill their toolboxes. So if there's anyone out there that is facing the challenge of what do I do now? What does my journey look like? I feel like I'm in the fog. Mm-hmm. Please feel free to reach out to me at either one of the funeral homes. And that's what I'm here for, as a resource and to help walk alongside. I don't have all the answers. I have the capacity to walk beside.
All right. Colette Barton in for the journey this month's edition. Look forward to our chat in October.
Absolutely.
Be well, my friend. It's 9:17 here at the Voice of the Valley. AM 1450, KBMW, good morning.
Well, I love her, but I love to fish. I spend all day out on this lake, and hell is all I catch. But today she met me at the door, said I would have to choose. If I hit that fishing hole today, she'd be packing all her things and she'd be gone by noon.